On Sunday, October 14th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl presents. Trumpeter, composer, and with his ensemble E Collective, is a headliner at this year's Brick Jazz Festival, Terrence Blanchard. Join us for a discussion about Terrence Blanchard's career and a brief trip through his musical catalog. That's Sunday, October 14th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. My name is Joyce Jones. And our guest for this evening is trumpeter, composer, and with his E Collective ensemble, he'll be closing out this year's Brick Jazz Festival, Terrence Blanchard. WBAI is in fundraising mode, so we'll need to hear from you throughout the broadcast. You can reach us by calling 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. Or you can reach us at give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org, or you can text us at the number 41444 and text transmit 995. That's 41444 and text transmit 995. Sugar in My Bowl, starting now.
I want some sugar.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones. Great. I'm on the line with
Leah Crockett.
Leah Crockett, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl. I appreciate this time you're going to spend with us to let us know what's happening with this year's Brick Jazz Festival.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm well. You know, it's like we're in the home stretch.
Excellent. We've had Bryce on in the past, but just to let us know, you want to give us a sort of brief background on the Brick Jazz Festival and how it became into existence?
Sure. Well, this is our fourth year doing Brick Jazz Fest at Brick House, which is our headquarters in Fort Greene. And we've been in this beautiful building for about 5 years now. And so Brick Jazz Fest was a concept we created once we came into this beautiful space and we really wanted to create some sort of program that would really speak to our new space and all of the different studios and stages and resources that we have here, as well as do something that we felt really exemplified the Brooklyn community. And for us, there's just so much music in Brooklyn in all kinds of genres, but we felt like jazz really felt right and that there are just a ton of innovators and creators right here in our backyard that we wanted to work with.
So what's happening this year? Well, actually, I know, first off, that there's dance, there's film, and then there are the marathon nights. You want to break those down for the people?
Absolutely. Over the years, we've expanded Jazz Fest to really be 8 days long, and it includes a whole plethora of different activities that go beyond music. So starting on Saturday afternoon, a free concert outside to kind of get the energy going, 300 Ashland, which is a plaza across the street from Brick, Antibala, free show. The next day, we do free film screenings. And this year we're doing two. One is called Let's Get Lost, It's an awesome documentary about Chet Baker that came out 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, hasn't really been shown anywhere in a while. So we're excited to have that out. It was like an indie film when it came out in the 80s. It was hard to track down, but we're really excited to show it. And then, I don't know, have you ever seen this Betty Davis documentary?
No, I want to, and I am looking forward to seeing that as well.
Me too. I know, I actually haven't seen it yet. I've only, you know, clips and trailers, but she's such, you know, she's one of these icons that I don't think gets nearly enough recognition. So I think it's really cool that she's resurfaced in the form of this documentary. So that's sort of a more recent story that we're excited to tell, also free on Sunday. And then we continue out the week with some great, also free programs. We're doing this amazing dance workshop on Tuesday evening called Talk Train. And it's this great dance workshop being put on by Urban Bushwomen, who are this fantastic dance company that are in residence with us. And they're hosting a completely free, all-levels dance workshop based on the music of John Coltrane.
Nice.
So there'll be live music, live accompaniment, and that is a great thing. We do dance workshops monthly, and it's totally multi-generational, multi-level, really, really fun, very accessible sort of way of interacting with jazz music and moving around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. There's the marathon days, but you also have a panel discussion as well.
We do, and I'm so excited about that. So on Wednesday evening, we will have a panel discussion with an amazing jazz critic, Nate Shinnin. He just wrote a book called Playing the Changes,
right.
The Evolution of Jazz.
Right.
Nate totally speaks to us in terms of something that we talk about here at Brick a lot with Brick Jazz Fest, is that jazz is constantly evolving. There's a whole new generation of artists that are totally making jazz their own. It's not nostalgia. It's totally moving, living, breathing. And Nate really talks about that in his book. So he's coming down to Brick to discuss the evolution of jazz with some amazing artists who are featured in the book and happen to be playing at Brick Jazz Fest. And those are Keon Harold, who's an amazing, I would say, you know, newer to the scene. He's got a legend, Terrence Blanchard.
Right.
And then an amazing vocalist and singer-songwriter, Camila Meza, who's
right.
actually from here in Brooklyn.
Now, Terrence and Keon are trumpeters, just so everyone knows. Terrence is also our guest for this evening. So Keon, he was the trumpeter for Don Cheadle's Miles Davis in his directorial debut, Miles Ahead.
Exactly. So, and you know what's a fun fact about that?
Yeah.
Part of those scenes were actually filmed at Brick.
Ah, nice. Nice.
So Keon's like, he's part of the family now. He's been to Brick so many times, so we're happy to have him.
And Camila Meza?
Vocalist, singer. She's Chilean originally and does great work both in English and in Spanish and has several different projects that she works on. But at Brick Jazz Fest, we'll be very lucky to see one of her larger projects called the Nectar Orchestra.
Wow.
And I want to say it's like an 8-piece band with a string quartet. It's just going to be really, really rich.
And that's actually happening during the second marathon night. So the marathon nights.
I'm so excited. So what's great, we do all of this free programming leading up all week long, and it culminates in 3 nights where we have 8 artists each night on 3 different stages, and it just covers the gamut. On Thursday night, we have Christian Scott as our headlining performer that night, who, of course, is incredible. We have a good mix of sort of local folks, Madison McFerrin, mm-hmm. who's an amazing vocalist, and also the sister of Taylor McFerrin, who's Brick Jazz Fest alumni as well.
Who are also the children of Bobby McFerrin.
Exactly. I know, right? Musical family. So we're very excited to have her Friday night. Gosh, it's such a stacked lineup, too. It's every night is amazing. Friday, we have Michelle Indigocello and Zenia Rubinos. And it's so funny. I love Zenia Rubinos is this great sort of younger, newer voice based here in Brooklyn. Very experimental vocalist. Just really interesting. Not afraid to be playful. Mm-hmm. And when we were approaching her about Brick Jazz Fest and she knew that Michelle Indigocello was also going to be part of it, she said, please, please, can I open for Michelle?
Oh,
she's my
nice.
Idol. I know, and I love that. We're like, absolutely. So it's kind of nice to see Michelle. She's been in and around New York so much that I think a lot of musicians have been touched by her and transformed by seeing her around town over the years.
And all around Brooklyn. Brooklyn's her home.
Yes.
I want to make a backtrack to the previous night, because you have some returnees. Lakeisha Benjamin and Soul Squad being one of them.
Yes!
And Stefan Harris and the Blackout. They were there.
I think 2016.
So, yeah.
You know,
Stefan's
just great. Obviously, you know, he's wonderful to work with, and he just continues to create lots of great work. So we're happy to have him back sort of playing newer material. Lakeisha is just such a delight in so many ways. She's someone that through various different projects we've worked with so many times that it's like, we just can't help it. We just love her. It's been great to sort of watch her evolve. She played at Brick Jazz Fest on one of our smaller, more emergent stages. I can't remember. I think maybe 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then last year she played with Lafray Ski.
Yes.
As her sax player. So it was like, oh, welcome back, Lakeisha. Happy to have you.
Yes. And
this year we're really happy to have her in our big ballroom stage. She has a great album out. Came out earlier this year.
Right.
She's actually doing some educational workshops for us with children. We kind of invite schools to come do these private workshops.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just a multifaceted, super talented performer that we just can't get enough of.
Yay. Washington Heights, stand up, she says.
There you go.
So back to our marathon nights. Friday, you were talking about Camila, Zina, Michelle DeGiocello, mm-hmm. Keon Harris is that night. Cyrus Chestnut is there.
Yep.
The Jazz Passengers. Nothing says New York like the Jazz Passengers.
Right. And, you know, we want that. We love, you know, we really try to be conscientious. I think it's so important to have these legendary folks with these long careers that can really speak to the breadth and the gravity of how they've helped shape a movement. And we feel strongly about that. And also keeping a mix of people who push the boundaries of jazz and who are more emerging and really making us think more interestingly about jazz as a genre. Jazz Passengers is like a no-brainer. When we found out that they were available, we were like, we've got to have these guys. They're so New York. They're so legendary.
Right.
So we're really happy to have them.
So the closing night on the 20th.
Oh my gosh, the closing night. That's right. October 20th on Saturday night. We have the amazing, iconic Terrence Blanchard, who you'll have on shortly. Terrence Blanchard's closing it out with his project, The E Collective.
Right.
It's going to be amazing. And before Terrence in our ballroom stage, I'm so excited about this project. We have a group called Brownout, and they are a Texas-based funk band. They have these very Latin influences, and they were actually Prince's backing band so many years ago when he was doing his Vegas residency.
Okay.
These guys have also backed up the GZA. They're great musicians that are always kind of delving into new things. And their most recent project is they just recorded an all-instrumental funk interpretation of Public Enemy's Fear of a Black Planet.
I see.
And let me tell you, it is so on fire. Like, I have to get up from my desk and dance every time I hear it.
They refer to theirs as Fear of a Brown Planet.
That's right. So it's got like this, you know, kind of Texas border flair to it. It's just so fun. They're going to bring some guest MCs out, Third Root, another Texas hip hop group, to kind of provide the lyrics that are obviously so crucial to that album. And this is actually going to be the New York premiere of that project.
Very nice.
So that one will be really fun.
And you also have Deva Mahal. She's been involved.
Deva Mahal, yeah.
In several things. Around the town, and with Brick, I suspect, as well.
That's right. You know, we've had Deva here, I can't remember, a few years ago, and she's another person we've just really enjoyed watching flourish. You know, I think every time we see her play, she has just a bigger and bigger audience. And let me tell you, like, I can't think of someone else who commands a stage like her. She just, no matter what you're doing, like, as soon as she starts singing, you will just stop dead in your tracks, I think.
And Kat Edmondson will be there. She's a sort of lounge-type person, isn't she?
Yes.
For lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, exactly. No, she's much softer kind of jazz vocal style than maybe some of the other artists. But we love Kat. She's wonderful. She has a great record out. And we actually have her performing in our artist studio stage. And again, what's great is that artist studio is very small. It's just about 60 people.
Very
Sounds
intimate.
Great in there. Exactly. So if you want to take a break from like the crazy party that will be Jazz Fest, you can always go in there and listen to some beautiful music, have a seat. We really want to give space to artists that have perhaps a softer sound that really needs a listening room.
Right.
You know, we want to have room for that too.
Yeah, that's great. And Arnetta Johnson, she was involved in, and this is another Bryce thing, a winter Jazz Fest. There was a panel discussion about women in the music, and she was on that panel, Arnetta Johnson, younger artist who's worked with Terry Lynn Carrington as well.
That's right. Another Jazz Fest alum, Terry Lynn Carrington. Arnetta is amazing. She is a great young trumpet player. She raps. She's so full of energy. We have some other obviously great trumpeters, Keon and Terrence.
Right.
But I feel that her performance is so distinct. And we're just happy to bring her. I think we're going to see a lot of good things from her to come.
So how do you come about gathering these varying voices under the jazz umbrella?
So, you know, it's a highly collaborative process. I, you know, co-curate the festival with, as you know, Bryce Rosenblum mm-hmm. and our VP of Performing Arts, Jack Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great all working together because, you know, we all come from sort of a different perspective of how we approach jazz. Bryce obviously has been curating the Winter Jazz Festival for a long time.
Right.
He's really deeply rooted. Jack is a huge jazz fan. Mm. And myself, admittedly, I really discovered jazz through hip hop and like listening to Tribe Called Quest.
Okay.
And where that sample came from, you know?
Excellent.
And so I'm able to kind of offer sort of a different approach from either of them too. So it's really, to be honest, what's great about this festival is that there's no shortage of ideas. I mean, it's always a matter of like, who do we have to wait on? Or, oh, can we try to squeeze this in? Oh, we'll have to wait till next year. Because there's just such a plethora of artists in the genre, and especially based in this amazing borough and in New York, that we want to work with, that the three of us just get together and share what we're listening to, what we like. And, you know, we cast the net far and wide. After that, I think aesthetically, there's a lot to choose from in terms of sonically what we find interesting. Again, wanting to have that mix of emerging artists, boundary-pushing artists, and more legendary folks. And then it's just reality kicks in, and it's who's available, who's not, you know, who's in Europe. And then that all kind of shakes out, and we come up with these lineups that we feel cover a lot of ground.
So for those who want to find out more about the Brick Jazz Festival that we may not have touched on just now, they can go to brickartsmedia.org.
And it's right on the homepage, and it'll have everything you need to know, the full lineup for free and ticketed events, where to buy tickets, and all that good stuff.
Excellent. And once again, that's BRIC, artsmedia.org. So thank you so much, Leah Crockett. Thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl and sharing this information about Brick Jazz Festival. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joyce. It was a pleasure. I'll see you next weekend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Once again, Charles Altura at the guitar. Oscar Seaton at the drums. David Guignard at the bass. And Fabian Almazan at the piano and keyboards. We'd like to really thank you guys for coming out and giving us a chance to play some music for you and sharing this journey that we're on. We hope that you guys enjoyed yourselves. And until next time, on behalf of the guys in the band and myself, may God bless and keep. Thank you very much. Love you guys.
Hi, my name's Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with
Terrence Blanchard.
Terrence Blanchard, thank you so much for joining Sugar in My Bowl. I appreciate the time you're going to spend with us.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
There are a few things I want to talk to you about, but since we have a limited amount of time, let's get into this. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about your latest release. I have it as being released as of this past April, live, with your E-Collective. Tell me about that release. I understand that it took place in different particular areas, live recordings in different areas.
Yeah. We wanted to continue the discussion about gun violence in the country, so we picked three cities where there were major events that kind of, I don't want to say changed the course of things, but there definitely were tragic events that had a huge impact on the discussion. So we went to Cleveland, where Tamir was shot. We went to Dallas, where the cops were shot. And we also went to Minneapolis. And in all of those places, we had some civic engagement while we were there recording. And it was an amazing experience because I got a chance to meet some really great people who do a lot of great social work in all three cities.
What type of civic engagement?
Well, when we were in Minneapolis, I met this group called the Ujamaa Men, which is a group that helps young men who have been incarcerated to get back on their feet. I went out and spent the day with them and talked to them and had a great time learning from them and also sharing my experiences. In Cleveland, we took some at-risk youth and had them become involved in the project itself, where a bunch of them brought video cameras and recorders and recorded our rehearsals and soundtracks and stuff and made their own little vignettes about what it is they experienced, and we got a chance to sit down and talk with them as well.
I consider myself a jazz man in the world of ideas, a blues man in the life of the mind, because my models, jazz musicians and blues men, who have to find their voices, not just be echoes, who have to have a vision, not just a stand, and in the end, have to be true to themselves, because all imitation is suicide, all emulation is a sign of an adolescent mind. Now, all of us imitate, all of us emulate, but the ones who love us the way Monk loved Coltrane, you don't need to imitate Johnny Hodges. Go on and find your voice, brother.
I noticed that at the beginning of the release, it opens with some words from Cornel West.
Yeah.
And it seems to my understanding shape what happens forward. Do you want to talk about why you use that particular clip?
Well, because I love what he has to say about it, you know, and it talks about being your own man and understanding what it is. Well, this is what I get from it, to understand what it is that you have to offer and see the worth in it. You know, it's like one of my teachers used to say all the time, turtle never gets nowhere unless he sticks his neck out.
Turtle never gets nowhere unless he sticks his neck out.
Yes.
With regard to that, the turtle sticking his neck out, your E-Collective releases seem to be unapologetically outspoken, and persons could label it with being political. Some people have a problem with that, calling their music or their art political. Where do you stand in that regard?
I mean, I really don't have an issue with that, people calling it political. I just look at it as us making a statement about society, you know, and trying to be helpful and creating some meaningful discussions to put forward some change. You know, I'll give you an example. You know, when we started recording in Cleveland, we were doing a live show, and this guy came up to me after the show, and he said, listen, when I saw you were playing, I thought I would come to the show, and he thought he was going to hear Tale of God's Will, which is one of my other albums. The music is totally different, a different style band. And he said, when you guys started playing, he said, you just sounded angry. And everything just sounded really aggressive. And he said, but you started telling us during the break what the music was about. But he said his next thought was, well, if the guy who created A Tale of God's Will is this angry, I need to rethink my position on gun control. So those are the types of things we were hoping for, to change some hearts and minds and to heal some souls.
right. And you mentioned A Tale of God's Will, A Requiem for Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Could you speak a little more about it? Because some people actually thought that that in its creation was political.
Well, I don't think The Tale of God's Will was more political. Mm-hmm. That was just more of a reaction to what we were going through. I mean, and maybe some people may look at it that way, but for me, it was really about a reflection of what happened in the aftermath of the hurricane. And, you know, we did an album after that called Choices, where we were trying to have a discussion about what are the things we should do to make sure that this doesn't happen again. You know, I don't look at that as political. I look at that as just being more social work than anything.
It's interesting how you mentioned being more social work, and I'm not trying to pick a fight with you, but you did say this live release is also doing social work.
Yeah, because, I mean, what we're trying to do is that we know that there are a lot of people out there that are hurting and frustrated right now. It seems as though, you know, with all of these shootings, that people are screaming that there's a problem that we need to address. You see what's happening with the NFL players and how they're trying to make their statement about it. And all of the messages are being turned into something else. The NFL players are disrespecting the military and the flag, which is not true.
Right.
Because they took the suggestion from the military to kneel if you want to make a protest. And this last time I checked, it was a free country where people were allowed to speak freely and protest peacefully. So there are a lot of people that are out there hurting. So what we've been telling people is let this music absorb your anger. Let this music help heal your soul. You know, because we want to continue to move things forward, but we need to do it in a peaceful manner. We don't want people getting hurt or creating any type of violent situations.
You know what's interesting, though? To go back to Brother Martin, 73% of Americans were against him. 56% of black people were against him. You know why? He come out against the war in Vietnam. He's trying to organize poor people and was talking about wealth inequality. He said there's going to be three issues that will haunt the American empire.
listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar My Bowl's the name of this program. My name's Joyce Jones, and our guest for this evening is Terrence Blanchard. What you're listening to in the background is Dear Jimmy from Terrence Blanchard featuring the E Collective. Live is the name of this release. It was released earlier this year on Blue Note Records. Terrence Blanchard is the trumpeter and composer. Charles Altura on guitar. Fabian Almuzan on piano and synthesizers. David DJ Guignard on bass. And Oscar Seaton on drums. Before that, we heard Talk to Me from the previous E Collective release, Breathless, released in 2015. Talk to Me features Cornell West. Terrence Blanchard is the trumpeter and composer. Charles Altura on guitar. Fabian Almuzan on piano and synthesizers. Donald Ramsey is the bassist on this release, and Oscar Seaton on drums. Before that, we heard Levies from Terrence Blanchard's 2007 Blue Note release, A Tale of God's Will, A Requiem for Katrina. Terrence Blanchard is the trumpeter and composer. Bryce Winston is the tenor saxophonist. He's also playing soprano saxophone. Aaron Parks on piano. Derek Hodge, acoustic bass and electric bass. Kendrick Scott on drums and percussion. Zach Harmon on tabla and the Happy Apple. Before that, we heard another selection from Live, Hannibal. And before that, we heard Can Anyone Hear Me, also from Live. And of course, we opened our program with Nina Simone. I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, from the very best of Nina Simone. Sugar in My Bowl, 1967-1972. This is originally recorded in 1967. This is from a 1998 RCA BMG compilation. We'd like to thank Leah Crockett for sharing information about the upcoming Brick Jazz Festival, and you can find out more about that during our On the Bandstand segment with our associate producer Hank Williams. More from Terrence Blanchard on Sugar in My Bowl, WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar in My Bowl continues.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for October 14th. This segment features aerial listings of Sugar My Bowl guests, so you can see them live. And this week's guest is trumpeter Terrence Blanchard. You can see him at the Brick Arts Media Center in downtown Brooklyn, and that's part of the 2018 Brick Jazz Fest. He'll be in conversation with jazz critic Nate Chinnan on Wednesday, October 17th, and performs with the E Collective Ensemble to close out the festival on Saturday, October 20th. And this is normally the time when we go into the shows of the week, and we'll do that in a moment, but WBAI Radio's fall fund drive is underway, and it needs your support to stay on the air and keep this show on the air. There are three ways you can help out. You can call 516-620-3602 while we're on the air. That's 516-620-3602. You can pledge online at give2wbai.org, or you can send a text message to the number 41444 and enter transmit 995 as the message. That's a text to 41444 and put transmit 995 into the message field. You can pledge as little as $5, but we'd urge you to consider becoming a sustaining member with a monthly pledge that we call being a BAI buddy. It gives the station a predictable source of funding throughout the year and is very simple for you to do. And I'll repeat all that info at the bottom of the segment after our music listings. We start with bassist Ron Carter, who's at Birdland from October 16th through 20th with a big band, the 23rd through the 27th with a quartet, and the 30th through November 2nd with his Golden Striker Trio. bassist Christian McBride is at the Blue Note with Robert Glasper on the 16th and 17th. He heads uptown to the Apollo Theater for a James Brown tribute on the 18th and 20th, and he'll also be at the National Jazz Museum in Harlem for a talk on November 1st. Vocalist Catherine Russell is at the Beacon Theater with Steely Dan for several dates running between October 17th and 30th. Vocalist Jasmia Horn is at Les Poissons Rouges on the 17th. Saxophonist Claire Daly leads a quartet at New Brunswick, New Jersey's Hyatt Regency Hotel on the 18th. Also at the Brick Jazz Fest is saxophonist Lakeisha Benjamin and the Soul Squad on October 18th. Saxophonist James Brandon Lewis's trio is at Firehouse 12 in New Haven on the 19th. Pianist and vocalist Amina Claudine Myers and drummer Andrew Surreal both lead ensembles at the Community Church of New York in Midtown Manhattan on the 19th, and that's part of AACM New York's fall concert series. Saxophonist Ravi Coltrane leads a quartet at Jazz Forum Arts in Tarrytown, New York on the 19th and 20th. Pianist Vijay Iyer is at Columbia University's Miller Theater on the 20th. Pianist Mark Carey's Harlem Sessions continues as a Saturday night series with late sets at Smoke on the 20th and 27th. Guitarist Mary Halverson is at the Brooklyn Academy of Music on the 20th with Thumbscrew, at the Greenwich Music House on the 25th, and at the Stone on the 26th. Looking a little further ahead, vocalist Renee Marie is at William Patterson University's Shea Center for Performing Arts in New Jersey on the 21st. Pianist Billy Childs is at the Schomburg on the 22nd. Saxophonist Ravi Coltrane is at the Village Vanguard from the 23rd through the 28th. Pianist Harold Mayburn leads a trio at Smalls on the 24th. Finally, drummer J.T. Lewis is at the Jazz Gallery on the 26th with Brandon Ross. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, full listings are on our blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org. And click the link for the blog, where you'll also find reviews, features, and jazz news, and Suga is spelled S-U-G-A. Playlists and audio from this and previous shows are also on the website, and if you're on Twitter and Facebook, look for us there too, where we'd appreciate likes, tweets, and shares with your friends. And if you really like what we do, a reminder to help the station stay on the air, and consider becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge at 516-620-3602, online at give2wbai.org or sending a text to 41444 with transmit 995 in the message field. The support WBAI link on our website has details for all that, and we're grateful for any help you can give the station. This is Hank Williams signing off with our biweekly schedule. We're off the air next week, but we'll have updated event listings online and be back on air on Sunday, October 28th. Either way you connect, we'll see you next time on the Bandstand.
You're tuned to WBAI, the station that tells our story and tells it like it is. This is Mabel Williams, widow of Robert F. Williams, Negroes with Guns, and you're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM.
And I mean every word of it.
Just to let people know that on the live release, the E-Collective consists of your playing trumpet, Charles Altura on guitar, Fabian Almuzan on piano and synthesizers, Oscar Seaton on drums, and you have a new addition to the E-Collective, DJ.
David Gignard on bass. He's a great composer as well. And I'm also playing supplemental keyboards, too.
Oh, okay. And, you know, Fabian, I know, is very outspoken with regard to the ecology.
Yep.
That is where his political voice is verbalized. Did you select other members who were of the same mind?
No, I selected members who were great musicians.
Okay.
You know, and guys who were very creative, like DJ. Man, DJ, you know, when we first heard him play, it was supposed to be in a group. You know, as a matter of fact, man, what was funny about it, before he joined the band, all of the other members in the group, the three other members in the band, came to me separately talking about how much they enjoyed playing with him. So that was the type of impact that he had just from the first time we heard.
Well, first off, let me mention that you are scheduled to come to New York as part of the Brick Jazz Festival. You're doing the closing night of the Brick Jazz Festival.
Yeah.
Did they just call you and say, are you available to come, or How did that
go? Yeah, that's basically how that happened. Oh. I mean, we had just played in Brooklyn a few months ago, so it's a great thing to go back to Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn for 15 years, man, and it's like my second home.
Oh, cool. You're also going to be part of a conversation, a talk.
Yeah.
And I think it's with Nate Shinnin?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. The Brick Jazz Festival, it has actively made itself a voice for continued discussion on social conscious.
Yeah.
So I suspect that is definitely a reason why they called your group as well.
Yeah, well, that's been the great thing about the two albums that we've released. You know, it has been interesting to see the reaction because, you know, people are having conversations. Young people who have been fans of the group are becoming aware of certain issues. I mean, they're already aware, but they're talking about solutions and trying to be active and creating change in this country.
And I think I need to be clear. The conversation that you're having with Nate Shinnin is actually happening on October 17th, and the performance with E! Collective is happening on the 20th as part of the closing marathon nights of the Brick Jazz Festival. Also on the subject of conversations and enlightenment, and this, you know, I could spend some time just talking to you about this work. You just finished yet another soundtrack with Spike Lee for Black Klansman. want to tell us about that relationship?
Well, it's been a great relationship for a number of years because I don't know how to explain it. You know, I feel like, you know, Spike and myself have grown up in the film business together, and I owe a lot of my development to him. His cinematic vision is extremely unique. His cinematic style is his own. And it's been an experience that's allowed me to grow and forced me to think outside the box. So I've cherished the relationship for a number of years. And when it comes to Black Klansman, I look at Black Klansman as being the culminating project of all of our efforts up until this point. Spike did a great job on every aspect of the film, the way it looks, the choice in casting, the way it's put together, the shots. The shots are beautiful. The storyline itself, the way it's edited, everything. You know, his signature moves that he normally uses, he uses them to great effect in this film. And it's been a great experience working with all of those guys, Barry, who's his editor, Tommy, who's the sound guy, and Spike himself and myself. So it's been a great relationship.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I have your first soundtrack work with him as being Jungle Fever. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. But you also were involved in Mo Better Blues. Were you the trumpeter that played for the Denzel Washington? Okay.
And I also coached him on set.
Yeah. It's like wearing another hat as a coach. Was that the actual first time that you worked with Spike on a film?
No. Okay. Well, I played on some of the earlier projects.
Yeah.
You know, that is that at school. So I'd worked on School Days and Dude Right Now as well.
Right. Okay. Excellent. Actually, I like your work. Just outside of Spike Lee scored films, I'm listening and watching a movie or something, and I remember one in particular. I think it was the one with Kevin Costner. I'm watching it, and I'm not really, you know, I listen to the music, but I'm listening. I was like, wait a minute, this sounds like Terrence Blanchard. So you have a sound. You really do have a voice when you're scoring as well.
Thank you.
I know it's probably not intentional. It just is, and that's how I perceive it. What is the difference between, for you, scoring for film and writing for releases?
Well, the big difference is intention. You know, the releases are my attempt to make a statement about something that I've experienced or that we're experiencing as a community. The film thing is where I really am hired to help a director pull his vision together. Mm-hmm. You know, and while I still may relate to the storyline, it's still the director's decision as to where the music goes. And we'll sit down and have conversations about it, but where it goes, how it's shot, and all of those things. Mm-hmm. So the purpose behind my music is to also be that intangible thing that kind of brings all of the other elements together, the emotional parts of it, the action parts of it, you know, the poignant moments. And music can be the glue that pieces it all together.
You're from New Orleans, Louisiana. This is your home. What brought you to the trumpet and this music? And you probably mentioned this all to somebody long ago, but, you know, you haven't done it with this audience, so let us know.
Well, when I was in elementary school, I had been playing piano since I was 5 years old. And in my elementary school, I was in fourth grade. Our principal used to always have, like, showcases for us. She would bring in dancers. She would bring in a lot of things for us to experience. So she brought in this jazz band led by this trumpet player named Alvin Alcorn. And they played New Orleans traditional music. And I remember sitting there listening to him going, well, the piano doesn't have vibrato like that. The piano doesn't have a vocal-like quality like that trumpet. And I remember going home telling my parents, I said, well, you know, I want to play the trumpet. And they had just rented a piano for me to have at the house. So that's how it all started. I have Alvin to thank for that. You know, he was a very powerful influence on my life that day.
And I realized when you came to New York, you were part of this. I guess you were one of the young lions at that time in the 80s, sort of like you worked with Wynton Marsalis and you worked with Art Blakey. You actually replaced Wynton Marsalis in Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers. Yes. What was that call like? Who contacted you?
It was an exciting moment in my life. You know, I was 19 years old. I just moved to New Jersey. I was going to Rutgers University. I was playing with Lionel Hampton, but I was still in school because Lionel just mostly worked on the weekends. But I would go to New York to hear as many musicians as I could play. And then I got a chance to see Wynton playing with Art Blakey, and I was really excited and happy for him. And then he told me he was getting ready to go out on his own and wanted me to join the band. And I remember thinking, wow, that was totally unexpected. I didn't expect that to happen to me. But when it did, then immediately I learned all of the music, and I just got on my game and got on my grind and tried to make sure that nothing would be lost by me joining the band after him.
I understand also that working with Art Blakey was really hard and that he really made his horn players work. I spoke to Freddie Hubbard some, you know, and he was talking about how he would really, really work his chops playing with Art Blakey. How did you protect yourself as a trumpeter?
Get stronger. That's how you protect yourself. You got to rise to the occasion. It's like going from college to the pros, man. Mm-hmm. It's like you can sit down and think, oh, it'll be like this when I get to the NFL, all you want. But the reality of it is something totally different.
Wow.
So it was the same thing playing with Art. I remember telling him, you know, my chops were tired one day. And I said, man, my lips are tired. And then he said, don't worry, I'm going to get them together for you. And I know exactly what he meant, you know. And it was true because he would push us hard. You know, if you didn't rise to the occasion, man, he would roll over you like a steamboat, man. It was crazy. But it was the best thing for us, you know, because it made us understand immediately what it took to be a professional.
Mm-hmm. I understand also that during that time, a few of the musicians who came out with you, many of them were offered record deals. And some of them weren't exactly like, I don't know if I should do this. And, you know, they did it anyway because that was, you know, what they did. Mm-hmm. Where did you stand with regard to coming out as a leader and having record deals and all that?
Well, we were excited about it. Donald Harrison and myself, we signed together first right out of the Jazz Messengers to Concord Records. And then later we signed to Columbia Records.
Mm-hmm.
Excited about it because, you know, our orientation in learning what jazz is and the history of the music was that that was the calling, to go out and try to make your own sound, develop your style. And studying composition from the time that I was 16, I was also kind of groomed for that. You know, Art Blakey had heard that I was a composer when I was in the band. He said, went and said, you got a lot of stuff. You need to bring it out and pull it out. Mm-hmm. And I did. And being in that band for 4 years was grooming us for that particular purpose. As a matter of fact, Art Blakey used to tell us, he said, we need more band leaders in the jazz world. He said, so when you leave this band, I don't want you going into other people's bands. I want you guys to go out band leaders, because that's what we need to keep the music going and moving forward.
Nice. As a band leader, do you see yourself in the style of Art Blakey?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely, because one of the things that made Art great was he knew what he brought to the table, and he didn't try to overpower people, but he gave us a platform to experience growth in the industry by giving us a chance to not only arrange for the band, but also compose for the band. And then I was the musical director while I was there, so I would call the tunes for the shows. So you quickly learned how things would run during the show. So I do the same thing with my guys. If you look at live, all of the guys in the group are encouraged to compose.
Right.
You know, and then they're featured, you know, because they're great musicians.
Thank you.
all about everybody contributing. You know, Art Blakey used to tell us all the time. He said, listen, man, I could play a drum solo all night long, but people don't want to come in here. That they want to come and be swept away. He said, maybe my band, but this is all of us up here making a musical statement together.
Now, you made a statement, to get back to the movie scores, about if you and two other musicians were in, jazz musicians, were in a plane accident or car or somewhere where there was a, all three of you were no longer around. Could you tell that story? Because I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, well, it was actually a joke that happened between Marcus Bell and myself. I found out where we were, and he looked at me and goes, hey, man, you know, we probably shouldn't be in the same room. I go, what are you talking about? He says, man, because if they blow it up, there go two-thirds of all the black film composers in L.A. Because he was referring to Stanley Clark, himself, and myself.
Right. Do you see there being more opportunities in the present than when you first started for black jazz musicians in particular?
It's hard to say because, you know, I think there are just by sheer number, there are more opportunities because there are more African-American directors and there are more independent films that are being done. So there are more people who are getting a shot at it. You know, now, will it be sustainable? That's another issue, you know, altogether. But you look at what happened with Ava DuVernay, what she's been doing, and some other directors. So they're giving people a chance to contribute to the genre, which is always a great thing, to have new voices.
Are there directors that you might want to work with?
Oh, sure. Ava DuVernay is one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to work with her. I mean, there are a bunch of people. But I've been blessed working with a lot of great people. I'm working with Casey Lemons right now. She's shooting Harriet Tubman, and I can't wait to get my hands on that because we've been having some pre-production meetings about how she's going to shoot it, and some of the things she's talking about is very exciting.
You're doing other work with Cassie Lemmings as well, opera?
Yeah, she's written a libretto to an opera that we're doing together for Opera Theater St. Louis, which is based off of Charles Blow's book, Fire Shut Up in My Bones, and she wrote an amazing libretto. It's gorgeous, and obviously it's cinematic in its tone, but it's a gorgeous libretto.
Did you approach Charles Blow for that?
Yes.
What
yeah.
was it about that made you see opera?
Well, I mean, I think that his story is very operatic. You look at his level of success that he's achieved in his life and where he's come from. That in itself is an operatic moment. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a guy who was always a little different as a kid and taken advantage of and then molested as a kid, which he's been talking about lately in the news. He's been talking about how he's a survivor of sexual molestation,
exactly.
You know. And he didn't allow it to totally crumble him. While it still has an effect on his life, it's motivated him to become who he is now. And for me, there couldn't be more poignant or relevant story that needs to be told right now than his.
Heavy-hearted I sit. Too weak to stand and too tired to fight on another day. So I'll lay. I'll lay in the land of Akeldama, a land bought by betrayal and soiled with the blood of brutality. But this land
is my land.
It's my land.
It's my land. It's my land.
Or so they say.
It's my land.
It's my land. Planted on wicked soil and only garners fruits of hatred, degradation, and death. Oh, the irony. In death do I find my escape. Now I'm free to fly beyond the veil of deceit with which you choose to hide my reality. I fly far beyond valleys of vindication where you hide my freedom. I fly past trees of hope that lay dry in summertime Saharan desert winds. And I fly through clouds of judgment which no longer hold me hostage to my tone. I roam. But am I wrong? I roam.
wrong for wanting greater.
Greater.
Am I wrong for believing that one day black and blue would not equal pain?
Pain.
Am I wrong for believing that a king's dream had come true? How crazy am I to not have seen that we've gone from strange fruit to strange roots? These black roses grow from cracked pavements, freshly watered with the tears of the voiceless. As we lament a muted scream to the heavens, we can't breathe.
There's one last thing I want to ask you. Teaching. You teach at Berklee School of Music, and you're also doing workshops and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been doing that, and what is it that you focus on when you're talking to the students?
Well, I've been teaching at Berklee for the last 4 years, but I've been teaching at General for about 20 years. And for me, I'm just trying to pass on information that I learned when I was a kid from my great teachers that I had, Alice Marsalis, Roger Dickerson, George Jensen, Bill Fielder. And what it is basically is to know your fundamentals, deal with the fundamentals, and then I try to give them the tools by which they can take their own ideas and create and expand on their own ideas. Because, you know, our big elders used to tell us, you find yourself through composition. So I'm trying to help these young musicians find themselves by digging deep in their souls and dealing with their own ideas and blowing them up into bigger pieces.
Most musicians who are teaching, we just like to hear them share what their approach is
cool.
to teaching. Like I said, there are many things that I'd want to talk to you about, but I'm going to respect your time. And
okay.
But is there anything that you want to tell the WBAI listeners that we may not have talked about?
Well, one of the things I think people should know is that it's the E Collective that's playing the score to Black Klansman. And it's actually Charles Altura, who's the guitarist, who's featured on the score.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. If you haven't seen Black Klansman, get out there and do so. But definitely come through to the Brick Jazz Festival in Brooklyn on the 17th and hear more of a discussion with Nate Shinnin. Maybe if I were Nate Shinnin, you'd have more time. But anyway, but I'll be there. I'll be there to hear things that I may not have discussed tonight. And you'll be there for the closing night on the 20th.
Yeah.
And so we're looking forward to that. Thank you so much, Terrence Blanchard.
All right, Matt, thank you.
Peace.
You're listening to the closing moments of Sugar in My Bowl. My name is Joyce Jones, and our guest for this evening has been Terrence Blanchard. And we also heard earlier from Leah Crockett, who is one of the co-curators of the Brick Jazz Festival, and we'd like to thank them. What you're listening to in the background is Florida Salsa from Terrence Blanchard's The Comedian soundtrack, the original motion picture soundtrack. This is a 2015 Blue Note Records release. As I have said, I am enamored with Terrence Blanchard's soundtrack work, so we're closing out the program with one of those selections. Terrence Blanchard on trumpet, he's also the composer. Kenny Barron is the pianist. Robbie Coltrane on tenor saxophone, Carrie Allen Lee on alto saxophone, David Pulfus on bass, and Carl Allen on drums. Before that, we heard the title selection from Breathless, the 2015 Blue Note Records release. Terrence Blanchard on trumpet, and he's also the composer. J. Ray Oliver, who is also Terrence Blanchard's son, is the spoken word artist. Charles Altura on guitar, Fabian Almazan on piano synthesizers, Donald Ramsey is the bassist on this release, and Oscar Seaton on drums. Before that, we heard Chaos, another selection from the live release, Terrence Blanchard featuring the E Collective. This was released earlier this year on Blue Note Records. Terrence Blanchard on trumpet, he's also the composer. Charles Altura on guitar, Fabian Almazan on piano and synthesizers, David DJ Ginyard, bassist, Oscar Seaton on drums. Before that, we heard Oliver's Twist from Terrence Blanchard and Donald Harrison, their 1984 Concord Records release, New York Second Line. Terrence Blanchard is the trumpeter and composer. Donald Harrison is on alto saxophone, Mulgrew Miller on piano, Lonnie Plexico on bass, and Marvin Smitty Smith on drums. Before that, more of Terrence Blanchard's soundtrack work, Papa Has a Meeting, from the 2015 Relativity Music 2 release of music from the motion picture Black or White. That is the film where Kevin Costner is featured. Terrence Blanchard's on trumpet, and he's also the composer. Before that, we heard Mo Better Blues from Branford Marsalis Quartet featuring Terrence Blanchard. This is music from the Spike Lee film Mo Better Blues, 1990 Columbia Records release. Branford Marsalis on tenor saxophone and soprano saxophone on others, Terrence Blanchard on trumpet, Kenny Kirkland on piano, Robert Hurst on bass, and Jeff Kane Watts on drums. Before that, we heard the open title for the Spike Lee film 25th Hour, Terrence Blanchard's composition from a 2003 Hollywood Records release. And before that, we heard from Black Klansman, original motion picture soundtrack, Blut und Boden, or Blood and Soil, from Terrence Blanchard featuring the E Collective. As Terrence Blanchard stated, they provide the soundtrack. This is also with additional orchestration. This is a 2018 Black Lot Music release. Stay tuned. La Nueva Alternativa is scheduled next. However, WBAI is in the midst of Fund Drive, so there may be special programming that follows us. You can still help us by calling 516-620-3602, or you can go to give2wbai.org and show your support there. That's give2wbai.org. Or you can text us at 41444 and text TRANSMIT 995. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Sugar and My Bowl is scheduled to return on October 28th, which is my birthday. Stay tuned.
Hello. Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.